Well, I remember quite early on, our chief exec and chief operating officers, chief nurse and medical directors, every day we'd have this thing at 4 o'clock called the clinical forum, where everyone would get together and we would discuss what's gone well, what do we need to improve. And we were always reminded, actually, our aim is to save as many lives as possible. But we also had real difficulties in, you know, not having enough medicines. And the amount of times we had to make rapid changes like that within hours, because we ran out of medicines, of certain medicines, so we had to switch to another one. But the other thing we tried to do in all of this was, you still make sure medicines are used safely, make sure the governance and the control and the auditing is still really tight. But then suddenly you're in an environment that's new, in a new setup, and you're treating patients who need ITU, specialist, expert intensive care. And you have people, some of whom, who are absolutely very specialist, and others who perhaps had never really worked in an ITU. So how do you make that safe from a medicine's perspective? And one of the things we realised early on, the nature of some of the medicines, if we could get those ready-made so that they could be put up in syringes or in bags, then it would take a really big step out in terms of responsibility for what our nurses might need to do. And so every one of those key drugs in an intensive care setting, we had ready-made for them. And that was something that I think has carried on in a lot of ITUs now, but we knew in that environment it had to be, we had to try and do everything we can to make it safe for our colleagues. It's showed as a profession how we are contributing to med safety, how we can work in places like critical care and still have a direct input into training others, but also in making sure systems are safe. We developed really quick ways of getting people trained, but also have carried that on post-pandemic. And I think we just began having a really good multidisciplinary approach to managing your patients. But I think that helps it even more post-pandemic. There are other bits I found really important. So every day I would have a huddle with the feedback from the operation team overnight. And we would use that as a handover for staff. And then again, midday check-in. And then the end of the day was another huddle to make sure when people were going to be leaving and the night shift coming on. We had those handovers, what's gone well, what do we need to improve. And I suppose what we began to do was to almost have this kind of, you know, daily improvement approach. And I think this has carried on the importance of compassion, teamwork and improving to deliver safe patient care in very tricky and challenging environments. And I think that's really important. And I think there's a huge amount of respect for what pharmacy teams have done. There was no downtime and yeah, we were tired. I had some people helping me who were doing their day jobs in the hospital and then coming at the end of the day to help for the last few hours of the day. People were going above and beyond. And I'll never forget how amazing those staff were. Sometimes people have said to me, oh, it was only 6 weeks. You had 50, 60 patients. And you think, we were being told to prepare for hundreds and hundreds, if not, you know, up to 1,000, 2,000, maybe more. So we didn't know. And thank God we didn't have to have more patients. It was by far and away the most challenging, demanding experience of my life. But I will say, probably the most rewarding as well. One of the proudest things in my whole life. Mm. You know, whilst I said, oh, you know, I lived six weeks away from my family, so did others. Mm. Lots of people did. But I did think you're only part of the team. And so when you get those plaudits and the MBE, of course I'm proud. That was more for my family, I'd say. And it was definitely on behalf of everybody who I worked with in that first response to the pandemic. I always remember my chief executive, Will Martin, who reached out and said, take a couple of weeks off before you come back. And that was really wise because I realised I hadn't unpacked anything. I just hadn't unpacked what I'd just been through. And I did come back, and I think it felt really strange coming back to work in a very different pace and focus. And, you know, whilst you can say, you know, well, how do you feel about that? Part of me was grateful, really grateful for that calmness. But as you know, by the end of that year in the early 2021, I came back with a vengeance. Rapidly moved towards a vaccination programme, and then that second wave of the pandemic. I think we were better prepared in hospitals, but it was as intensive, if not worse, I think. So when we got to the end of 2020 and early 21, when the vaccination programme first kicked off, there was a sense of hope then. But of course it was this huge logistical challenge to try and get so many people vaccinated and and then get the second vaccinations organised. And it went from one huge challenge of the first pandemic and the intensive care pressure to an even bigger one, I think, second time, because you were doing intensive care pressures and you were trying to vaccinate lots of people. And that was another really challenging process, I think. And, you know, I think for a lot of people, that was probably harder, I think, the second time, because you have not seen so many of your loved ones. And but then there was a sense of optimism as well. You know, the vaccination program was, for a lot of people, it was that passport to live a bit more of a normal life again. I hope when people listen to this, and hopefully other people's stories, they will hear and be proud about how the pharmacy profession really stood up, both in that first wave, second wave, and since then, with these programs. And it is something I think, yeah, I'm incredibly proud of my colleagues on that more than anything else.